Trendstorm.
Welcome to Radio Sputnik and Trendstorm. My name is Andrew Kripko, and I'm going to give you a forward-focused analysis of things to come and the general trends behind them. Here's what we have for you today. Afghan peace talks. Will Trump retreat from the Taliban? The U.S. might withdraw from Afghanistan in the next 18 months as part of a peace deal with the Taliban, which would amount to more of an ignoble retreat than the glorious victory that Trump promised. The Philippines, between Muslim autonomy and Islamist terror. Abu Sayyaf claimed credit for a deadly church bombing that killed at least 20 people on the island of Jolo just days after the Muslim-majority region of the Philippines resoundingly voted for autonomy. And also, Venezuelan crisis. The new Cold War spreads to South America. The new Cold War between the unipolar and multipolar blocs spread to South America with the Venezuelan crisis, and next week's Lima Group meeting in Canada will hint at what's to come. Opening up this edition of Trendstorm is the possible outcome of the latest U.S.-Taliban peace talks. The U.S. might withdraw from Afghanistan in the next 18 months as part of a peace deal with the Taliban, which would amount to more of an ignoble retreat than the glorious victory that Trump promised. This tantalizing report emerged after the end of the latest talks between the two sides and quickly made rounds all across the global media, encouraged by Taliban sources themselves, who supposedly said that this would be a quid pro quo for them fighting international terrorist groups and not allowing their country to be used by others to attack America or its allies, while U.S. officials also seem to vaguely hint that something of the sort is secretly in the works. The two sides are expected to resume their talks on the 25th of February in Doha, meaning that there'll be approximately a full month for further details to emerge and for the world to analyze what this geopolitically earth-shattering development would mean if it comes to pass. The Taliban has recently staged a spree of surprisingly successful attacks over the past few months that took observers off guard, given that they occurred prior to the traditional onset of the spring fighting season, which might have combined with the U.S. military's ineffective, years-long, and ultra-costly campaign against the group, as well as the Republicans' loss of the House last year to shape the military-political conditions whereby an American withdrawal finally becomes a realistic prospect. Trump could capitalize on this move by portraying himself as a president of peace as part of his re-election campaign, though critics might point out the hypocrisy of him potentially recognizing the Taliban as a legitimate political force in Afghanistan and then retreating from them, despite previously vowing never to back down in his crusade against what he's consistently insisted as radical Islamic terrorists. He might compromise with his critics by replacing U.S. troops with mercenaries, positioning some rapid reaction forces in a neighboring country like Uzbekistan, and retaining the right to cruise missile strikes, all the while possibly clinching profitable mineral extraction deals with the Taliban in order to uphold the peace. Though nothing has been confirmed thus far, the topic is still very pertinent to tackle on Trendstorm. So folks, with that being said, we're going to begin our discussion by speaking with Mr. Zeeshan Munir. He's the assistant editor at Global Village Space, a Pakistani online news and opinion website.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Zeeshan, although it's been sporadically talked about for years already, this time it looks like the U.S. might seriously withdraw from Afghanistan. So how influential was the Taliban's latest spree of wintertime attacks in getting America to finally countenance this possibility?
Well, Mr. Andrew, thank you for having me on the show. Well, the fact of the matter is that the Afghan Taliban have not won the war in Afghanistan, but they surely are winning. Because Taliban, since the beginning of this war inside Afghanistan, when the U.S. invaded it in 2001, it always had the winning strategy. You know, you saw that the Taliban have learned massively from their past mistakes. And soon after the U.S. invaded Afghanistan, we saw that the Afghan Taliban started targeting Afghan National Army because it saw that this is weak. And soon, when the Americans and its coalition forces realized that Afghan National Army will not be able to stand fast in the wake of the Taliban offensive, the U.S. forces started engaging Taliban. And that was the time when the Afghan Taliban, started hitting, they started, maiming and destroying the American targets inside Afghanistan. In 2018, in the fall of 2018, we saw that the U.S. has finally given up and U.S. has lost all hope of winning a war on the battlefield. The Afghan Taliban always had the winning strategy. You know, the Afghan Taliban's hybrid warfare against the United States and its allies inside Afghanistan has made the U.S. to give up all the hopes of winning the war on the battlefield. And that is why you see that the Trump administration is quite frustrated with not only the Afghan National Army, but also with the Afghan government. You know, this desperation of the United States to engage directly with Taliban, keeping the Afghan government aside, is an indication that U.S. desperately wants to get out of Afghanistan. You saw that the Trump administration is losing, you know, in its foreign policy offensives in Europe, in Middle East, in Far East. And that is why, before going to the 2020 elections, President Trump wants to have something in his pocket. You know, he wants to have an achievement. And he thinks that Afghanistan might be, you know, a place where he can do something good for his election campaign in 2020. And he might be, you know, showing something off to the American public when he goes into the next general election. So we see that the Afghan Taliban strategy of fighting the allies separately. You know, they attack the Americans separately. They have constantly attacked the Afghan National Army, Afghan National Police. And now we see that finally the Afghan Taliban, there's a stalemate on the battlefield, and this stalemate surely is in the favor of the Afghan Taliban.
Okay, well, you know, something I want to ask you about, Zeeshan, is, I mean, we're all familiar with how the Taliban has staunchly refused to recognize the writ of the Kabul government, but if it possibly enters into a transitional government, like the latest reports suggest might happen, that would tacitly imply that the Taliban accepts Kabul's authority, or at least partially. So what would explain this seemingly contradictory approach or policy pivot?
The Afghan Taliban, or their official statement is that they would not like to engage with the Afghan government. But the fact of the matter is that the Afghan government is a reality. In December last year, when the Taliban met with the U.S. Special Envoy for Afghanistan, Zalmay Khalilzad, according to the reports, the Afghan government officials were also present over there, but the Taliban refused to engage with them. But the fact of the matter is that once Taliban strike a deal with the United States, it is bound to negotiate with the Afghan government, because Afghan government still controls more than 50% of the territory. Afghan National Army is still strong. It can still fight the Taliban, and Taliban know it. So once Americans are out of the equation, I'm sure that the Afghan unity government under the leadership of President Ashraf Ghani and the Taliban are going to negotiate, and they have to find a negotiated settlement. You know, the regional powers like Pakistan, China, Russia, Iran are all trying to convince the Taliban to negotiate with the Afghan government. But so far, the Afghan Taliban are reluctant because they want to get the United States out of the equation. And I think that this strategy is working very fine.
I see. Well, you know, you were talking about a negotiated and a very pragmatic settlement that might be possible between to the Taliban and Kabul. And this makes me want to ask you the last thing for today. It's about what would happen in the future if the foreign conventional forces withdraw from Afghanistan. Would the Taliban maybe clinch mineral extraction deals with Western companies as a quid pro quo, or accept the presence of Western mercenaries?
The fact of the matter is that when the American troops withdrew from Iraq in 2009, they still left, you know, quite considerable forces to defend the oil rigs and the oil plants inside Iraq. So similarly, I think that the United States is not going to withdraw from Afghanistan completely. You talked about the mercenaries, you talked about the despaid warriors. So I think that the private military companies are going to stay inside Afghanistan even after the U.S. forces withdraw. And Afghanistan, you know, is rich with mineral resources. China, as we already know, is already heavily investing inside Afghanistan. China has so far invested $2 billion into the Afghan mining sector. Chinese engineers are working inside areas even under the control of the Afghan Taliban. So similarly, U.S. might be interested in striking a deal with the Afghan Taliban in which their companies are allowed to, you know, extract mineral resources. The fact of the matter is that over the years, we have seen that the Taliban have softened their stance on various issues. They have allowed the women to study. They have allowed the health workers to, you know, still operate inside the areas under Taliban control. In 2017, December, there was a village under the control of the Afghan Taliban around Kandahar, in which the infant mortality rate, you know, increased. So the Taliban asked the Afghan government to send NGOs so that to control this problem. So the fact of the matter is that the Taliban the Americans and the Afghan government, and the future Afghan government in which the Taliban, the Northern Alliance, will be part. So I think that there is a huge possibility of any deal and settlement in which the foreign mining companies might be allowed to operate inside Afghanistan.
Okay, Zeeshan, you shared some very crucial insight with us about the Taliban and its interconnected military diplomatic strategy. This helped us better understand why the group's hybrid war has been so successful. So thank you again for that. Now we're going to hear what Mr. Syed Ali Zia Jaffrey has to say. He is a research associate at the Center for Security, Strategy, and Policy Research at the University of Lahore, as well as being the associate editor of Pakistan Politico. Syed is also a regular on my program.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Syed, in your view, how likely is it that the U.S. would really retreat from Afghanistan after spending over $1 trillion in the war and not implement some backup plan or another, such as, let's say, replacing its troops with mercenaries, positioning rapid reaction forces nearby, or retaining the right to cruise missile strikes?
Thank you for this. I think it's a very important question given the circumstances that have unfolded recently. The reason why I call it a failure is because the Americans have been forced to do something which your question has pointed out, that after spending so much dollars and so much resources on the war, they are now being forced to leave this region at the mercy of its foes like China, Russia, and Iran. And given the fact that all of these countries are cobbling up to, you know, play a greater role in the Afghan peace process, has actually been it's a hard thing for the Americans, but it has happened after 18 years because they have been fairly and squarely defeated. I know it is difficult to envisage this, but this is happening because the Americans have been defeated. Now, what backup plans do they have in mind is a tricky one, because they need to keep their presence at least in a bit to, you know, obviate the presence and influence of Iran in the region. And of course, but then it's not only Afghanistan that is on their concern. They have to checkmate China through other means, especially in the Indian Ocean region. So now I think that they are leaving with their noses red with blood. So I don't think so. The backup plan in shape of mercenaries or other irregular means of warfare would exist in Afghanistan. They may use it for any other part of the Indian Ocean region or the Asia Pacific region through the Quad or something, but I don't see them playing a greater role in Afghanistan after the withdrawal.
Okay, Syed, well, seeing as how any U.S. withdrawal, whether real or just a euphemism, would proceed according to an agreed-upon timetable, how manageable would the emerging power vacuum be, and how much of a kingmaker role would Pakistan play in this scenario?
Again, a very important question. I think Pakistan has already played its cards very well. The fact that the Americans are now agreeing on something that Pakistan had been saying since the past 18 years is a testament to the fact that Pakistan has played an important role and it has its say has prevailed. So yes, Pakistan has to this end played a very important role. But the issue now is that the power vacuum, I don't think so. The situation would be akin to that in the 90s, because in the 90s, there was no one power that ruled the roost when the Soviet Union left that place. But now the situation is different. Now the Taliban have a clear edge in terms of military and their political base inside Afghanistan. So I don't think so any other force or forces would be able to challenge the Taliban. So I think whatever Pakistan has done, whatever role Pakistan has played, it has already become one of the linchpins of the Afghan peace. And I don't see that tough tussle between various factions, because the Taliban is way more stronger than other pockets of resistance that that Afghanistan may entail for them. So this is my two stands on it.
Okay, I see, and I definitely agree that this is a diplomatic victory for Pakistan, which has consistently said for over the past 18 years that only talks and a peaceful political solution can end this long-running conflict. Now, Syed, what would the regional countries need to do in order to prevent Afghanistan from becoming a terrorist exporting security threat like Iraq was after the U.S. withdrew from there in 2011? And lastly, how important will coordination between Pakistan and Russia be in ensuring this?
Okay, at the end of last year, our Foreign Minister Shah Mahmood Qureshi went for a visit to four regional countries that included Russia as well. So Pakistan has already traveled towards integrating and taking the regional countries on board in regard of one peace. And as you know well, that Russia has started this Moscow process since 2016 and 17, and it has, you know, increased the tempo of its diplomatic ingress into Afghanistan since the past 1 or 2 years. So yes, these two countries are already playing a very important role, and in fact, it was Russia who, you know, gave this idea a lot more prominence that in order to defeat ISIS, the Taliban has to be included in the political process. And so I think, yes, Pakistan and Russia have one interest, one common interest that they need to take into consideration while devising a policy towards Afghanistan. That is the ISIS. Now, the ISIS is in its salad days in Afghanistan, but it is no muck right now. So for Russia and for Pakistan, Pakistan would want ISIS not to, you know, come across its border, and especially into the newly merged tribal belt into KPK. So they would not want a monster to be created on the western border, which they are sealing. And the Russians would not want a Syria-like situation in Afghanistan where the ISIS can challenge them. And so is Iran. So Iran is also one of the most important countries in this mosaic. And as you know well, that the Taliban has found a new ally in Iran just because of this ISIS K factor. And yeah, and this could be one of the most important reasons as to why probably the US may retain a bit of its military footprint for about a year or two after the withdrawal in order to, you know, check or probably use the ISIS against Iran or Russia for that matter.
Syed, this was a fascinating forward-looking analysis at the future of Afghanistan and the very important role that the Russian-Pakistani partnership can play in stabilizing the country during this period.
Trendstorm.
So folks, if we think back on what both of our experts shared with us today, we can conclude that the U.S. does appear to be very serious about leaving Afghanistan. Now, we can leave the details up to everybody else to discuss, because right now it's just all talk, nothing has been confirmed. But should this historical development actually occur, it would happen because the Taliban decisively defeated the United States over 18 years, and the U.S. no longer feels that it has any leverage in the country to extend its influence throughout the region. Now, at the end of the day, we need to keep our eyes on the Russian-Pakistani strategic partnership, because these two great powers are really the ones that are going to shape the conditions for what happens next. So folks, if you want to sign off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.